Next week, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So if you're looking for an assignment, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, read chapter 11 as well. That'll help you in the build-up to what the Word is going to state there. Well, here we are. Great text before us today. Paul had labored in this church for a number of a few short weeks. He taught them about the future that is set before every believer that emanates with hope. Great, great hope. How do we need that? Paul had spoken to them about the rapture, the return of Christ to take his people from earth into his presence. They also knew in chapter 5 about the day of the Lord and the impending doom and judgment for the ungodly that will follow the rapture of the church, the bride. Now, presently, they were experiencing persecution, as many first century Christians did. But it was nothing compared to what would occur following the rapture to those who are left behind. So the Spirit of God speaks to us through the apostle. He spoke to that church. He gives us some helpful details of God's next great event on his prophetic calendar. This is the next great event. And they're laid out before us here. So if you're in Christ, there is something here for you that exudes hope and expectation. Something we should be looking forward to and looking for. We just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, the first chapter, Luke records that Jesus appeared to the disciples over 40 days with many convincing truths. And following that is his ascension. You see it here in Acts 1, 9 through 10. After he had said these things, he was lifted up. Jesus was right there with the apostles, the disciples. He's lifted up while they were looking on. A cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them and said, basically, like you've seen him go, he's going to come back. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we see something to know. So we're going to begin to really look to this event. And the apostle here says there's something that the Lord wants us to know. Verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Something to know. When it comes to the imminent return of Jesus, we should speak of it. It needs to be something that's on our minds, something we think about and something we speak to. Paul told Titus concerning the return of Jesus this: these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Speak it. That blessed hope that we see in Titus 2. We see the same event here in 1 Thessalonians 4. Speak to it. Talk about it. There's hope here. This blessed hope, this glorious returning of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep this before your people. That's what Paul told Titus. We are to have it before us. It's coming. One day we'll experience it. One day we'll no longer be talking about someday. We'll experience it one day. Now, there's not just isolated text in the Scripture about this. God wanted us to be informed. Ignorant here, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, ignorant, it speaks of to not recognize or know. God says, I don't want that you don't know or you don't recognize or know this truth. Now, it may be that in some cases, what I'm sharing with you today, maybe you're a new believer, that you've never really heard of this. Well, you get to see that today. For others, I want to stir you up. I want to stir you up to this event. I want you looking forward to it and living life in expectancy of seeing Jesus. There are a number of texts. You might want to write these down. I'm just going to kind of run through them that speak of the rapture, the return of Jesus. I'll begin in John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house, Jesus said, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Colossians 1:7. So you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes. He's coming again. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha. Our Lord comes. It's Maranatha. What does Maranatha mean? Our Lord comes. Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm kind of hoping he'll, you know, I've heard someone say, when they get up front, they hope that the rapture takes place before they're done speaking today. I'd like to get near the end just so anyone that hasn't trusted Christ, I'll give a call to salvation. But I'm okay right now if this happens. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Who is our hope or joy or crown or exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? There's a, I don't know if it's an old hymn or an old poem. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Going to meet you there in that home beyond the sky. I guess it's a hymn. We'll all gather. There's going to be a family gathering here of the people of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. This we say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. There it is again. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking. We're looking. That's what we're looking for. We're hoping and trusting and praying. One day, right? One day. James 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. It's all over in Scripture. You know, you may think, well, it's just there's a couple passages, 1 Thessalonians, Titus. No, there's many, many, many more. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence, not shrink away from him in the shame at his coming. There's a purifying work here, the Spirit of God, as we think toward the coming of our Lord. One more, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. When he appears. So something to know. Something to know. If you're in Christ, you will experience this day. One day. And like I say, one day it'll be history. One day it'll be history. And again, verse 13, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. He wanted the living Christ to impact their grief. That's what this does. See, if all there is in this world is right here and right now, huh, pity on us. You live, you die, that's it. No, that's not all there is. He wanted the living Christ to impact their grief. The resurrection, see, changes everything. It tempers the pain of grief with life and a glorious future. I want you to stop and just think for a moment. Look around. That person next to you is going to die. Now, I thought, well, I should tell you guys, maybe repeat Hebrews 9:27, 29, man wants to die, and say that to the person next to you. That might be a bit much this morning. But the truth is, we all, unless we are part of this rapture right now, are going to one day die. So what do we do with that? What do you do with that? If there's no hope, how do you respond to that? I've been around others that have no hope when someone dies, and I will tell you what, that is an awful thing to see. Let's do a 180. What great hope we have in Christ. What great hope we have in him. We are victors. We're more than conquerors. More than once, my dad, I'll be talking to him, and I'm no longer live downstate, obviously, been gone from that place for a long time, but he'll tell me about so-and-so. Great believer. Went to be with the Lord. And then he'll say this. Good for them. They're out of here. Why does he say that? There's hope. They're alive in Christ. Death opens the door to glory. What great hope we have. He wanted them to know this. And he wanted them to temper grief with this truth. With this truth. He wanted them to realize as well, there's hope and there's no hope. Look at verse 13 again. So that you will not grieve, the last part of that. You will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We grieve. We grieve. I've shed a lot of tears over the years for great saints that have gone on to be with the Lord. It hurts. It's hard. We miss them. I want to hear their voice. I want to see them. I want to chat with them. Not yet. Not yet. So our grief is tempered, but do you realize there are those that grieve with no hope? They grieve with no hope. That is about the saddest thing I know. No hope. Sobering words, maybe the most sobering words ever uttered. No hope. Grieving is something that will come to all of us at some point. And if you haven't not yet experienced that, you will. We grieve because we love. We grieve because we miss that person that has stepped into glory. But we have hope. But there are those that have no hope apart from Christ. No hope. The rapture of believers opens the door for God's righteous judgment to be poured out. That will come after the church, the bride of Christ, is removed from the earth. The events that the book of Revelation contains and other places as well, Revelation 6 and following will unfold. Do you have hope? I hope you do. I hope you're in Christ. And I hope that that hope just stirs your heart to great joy. Something he wanted them to know, something to happen. Look at verse 14. For if we believe, there's faith. If we believe, do we? We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Something that happened. The person of our faith is here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he's not asking a question. He's recognizing this truth of those believers he speaks to. If, or we could say, since you believe, they have faith. The person of their faith is Christ. Their citizenship is in heaven. They are children of the living God who by faith in Christ have been given his perfect righteousness. And it mentions here that he died and rose again. A living Savior gives hope. A living Savior gives life. He's risen. The work of Christ. He died, see, for our sins. And he rose from the dead. Because he lives, we will live also. He's alive forevermore. And we need to keep that at the forefront. Paul gives us a gospel nugget for us to chew on here. Christ died, rose again, lives today, and is coming again. And he's coming again with the saints, those who have gone on before us. What good news. Jesus died to pay our sin debt, rose again, defeating the power of sin, of death, and the devil. In dying, he did something that only God in the flesh could do. He became the sinless, perfect sacrifice for sinners. And you see this in verse 15. This I say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. That's the, again, his coming again. The revelation of Jesus will be there for us. There's something detailed as well. The rest of verse 15 through 17. Let me read that. For, says the Lord there, for this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. Something detailed here. Those in Christ, they are the ones who will be caught up. Those in Christ, that's key. This is the determining factor as to where anyone will spend eternity. These are the ones who will be with him on that day. So we ask ourselves, is that me? Am I in Christ? Have I trusted him as my Savior from sin? Only you can answer that question. I can't answer that for you. Have you made a decision to trust him as Savior? So, something detailed. This is detailed for us. Who's it for? Those in Christ. And we will be together on that day. Look at verse 15 again. We who are alive and remain will not precede those who have fallen asleep. You have both. You have the believer here now, today. That's me. I'm not going up before something else happens, and we'll see that that will happen. Christ will bring those with him. There'll be those resurrected bodies and so forth. But we'll be together. And you'll notice that Christ himself is coming. For the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout. I got thinking about this. This is a personal appearance of Jesus for his bride. You know, he holds all things together by the word of his power. He has all power and authority. Jesus could have said it this way. I'm just going to speak and bring him up to heaven with me. He could have said that. He could have commanded us into his presence with a word. There's another way he could have done it. This could be laid out and say, I'm going to send the angels. I'm going to have him retrieve my bride, the church who I love. I'll have them go get my bride. No, he chose and he's choosing to come for his bride personally. Personally and take her, the church, to himself. What a day that'll be. Praise his glorious name. He's coming for me. He's coming for you. Now, there'll be a shout, voice of the archangel. The only one we know of in Scripture is Michael, Jude 9. But the Scripture doesn't say there's only one. I'm not sure who gets that opportunity. It's one of the archangels. The trumpet of God sounds. Trumpets were used in Scripture to sound a battle cry. It's a call to worship, to feast, to worship or feast to gather the people of God. They draw the attention of those who hear, and they hear something's happening. I can't wait to hear that trumpet sound. I played a trumpet in high school, not because of this, but that's going to be sweet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. We see that. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, Jesus is bringing with him those who have gone on. We're going to meet them. Their bodies, were resurrected bodies, will be there for them, and we're going to be together. These glorified bodies uniting with those spirits. Those who die in Christ today have some kind of body. They are in heaven. You see that. They're under the throne there. They can speak. They're clothed with robes of white. So there is, in my own mind, I think of it as a temporary heavenly body. But they're going to have a glorified body one day. And we will leave it all behind. Look at verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. Leave it all behind that day. Satan's power over us, done. Our sinful hearts, done. You know, we'll never battle a bad thought again. Never be offended again. Never say something we shouldn't say again. One day, these broken bodies, pacemakers, the artificial knees, hips, all left behind. Part of this crowd should be saying amen to that, right? I'm getting there. So on that day, as we meet him in the air, what do you think you'll feel? What do you think about that day? Do you think in some way you'll resist or know immediately what's happening? I don't know. What emotions will jump to the forefront? There'll be fear. I think there's going to be joy, excitement, overwhelming peace. And I think a sense that I thought it was going to happen, and it did. We're on the right side. Will we shout praise to him? Or will we stand in awe, speechless, unable to do anything other than fixing our eyes on our master, the king? 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than you and I can imagine, we'll all be together to meet the Lord in the air by the power of the one who holds all things in his power. Look at this last verse. I'm concluding here. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore. All right, here's the truth. Let's pull it together. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort has the idea to console, to encourage. In the midst of life on this side of heaven, could you use some comfort? Could you use some consoling, some encouraging? Yeah. Why? Because while here, we experience rejection, insults, betrayal, wickedness, disappointment, suffering, injustices, persecution, death of those we love so dearly. Here's a salve for the wound that's been inflicted by the enemy. Jesus is coming for you and for me. For everyone in Christ, he's coming. And we will see him. We'll meet him in the air. We await that reunion that he speaks of. Jesus said this in John 11:25-26 to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. How could he say that? We die. There's a sense the believer never dies. We step into glory as our heart stops. We breathe our last. Jesus says they'll never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because I live, he said, you will live also. In the depths of trials, when a loved one in Christ dies, those words to those believers in Thessalonica were to offer comfort. They are to be that for us as well. To think that either through death for the Lord meeting us in the air, we're going to be with those who have gone on before us, changes everything. It changes the power of death. Jesus overcame it. Death for the believers is tempered with hope. And this isn't mere wishful thinking. It finds its basis on the risen Christ who overcame the grave. He left it empty. Powerless. He's a resurrection and the life. He's risen. So how can I be ready for this? Well, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior from sin, today's the day. Today is the day. If God is speaking to your heart, maybe he's been pressing you week after week. I've given an invitation week after week, and you think, yeah, got to do that someday. Someday is today. Today's the day that you would trust Christ. I urge you to do that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you die without Christ, you have two words. No hope. No hope. No hope. Jesus bids you come. Come. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I love this song we sang, Just As I Am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, with open arms. Brothers and sisters, if you're far from Christ, He welcomes you with open arms. You who have yet not trusted Christ as Savior, He welcomes you with open arms. And you come just as you are. Just as you are. Well, brothers and sisters, live expectantly looking for His soon returning. This teaching is full and overflowing with hope, something that we should be encouraging one another with as we go throughout our days. Jesus said He would die on the cross, and He did. Jesus said He would be 3 days in the grave, just like Jonah and the fish, and He was. Jesus said He'd rise again, and you know He did. Jesus said He would ascend to the Father, and He did. Jesus said He would come again to get His bride. Brothers and sisters, He will. He will. Comfort one another with the knowledge that one day we'll be with Him. We'll leave it all behind. One day we will. You'll look at another believer and know they're perfect. They're perfect. What great hope is set before us. Live it out, brothers and sisters. We are more than conquerors. Let's pray. Loving Father, I pray we might keep this before us. One day, Jesus is going to step out of glory and come and get His bride. My brothers and sisters, we can't wait for that day. I pray this will have a tremendous effect on how we do life. Father, it gets thrown at us. We can get knocked down by it. We can take our eyes off Him, Jesus. We can suffer in it. We can have a pity party in it. Help us to look to Him. May this truth bring joy to us today. Bless your people as they go out. Use them to make a difference for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.